Stan, going back to Roswell and then looking ahead to the Betty and Barney Hill case, do you believe that these extraterrestrials were similar, that they might have come from the same star system?
Well, there's no way to judge. They were certainly similar. Small guys, big heads. In the Roswell case, we know four long fingers, upper arm longer than the lower arm, which is the reverse of what it is for us. But, you know, what's an Earthling look like? Maybe he's a tall black Watusi or a short pygmy, you know, but basically humanoid, that is two arms, two legs, a head, and a body. If we have had colonization and migration and an interconnectedness of many stellar civilizations, then they may have be all mixed up and all connected with each other, even though they don't look identical. You know, obviously an Earthling has a bald head, some people would say, but other people would say, hey, what do you mean? I got a big head of hair here, you know.
Yeah.
But we're interconnected. So I don't know. I'll put that one in my gray basket, George.
Now, you mentioned that one of those that you talked to was Jesse Marcel. Now, his
senior,
son,
yes.
Senior.
There's a junior out there. He's got a new book coming out, too. Junior does.
What did his father tell him, Stanton?
Well, his father was told by his boss, Colonel Blanchard, to check on what the stuff that a rancher had brought into the sheriff's office. And so Jess went out there, and when he came back, he went out on Sunday, July 6th, came back late on the 7th, stayed overnight out there with a counterintelligence corps guy named Sheridan Cavett. They followed the rancher out. It's about 80 miles, but the last 10 miles at least are cross country. So, you know, we didn't have any GPS out there at the time in 47. So they came back, and Jesse stopped at home late on the 7th with a car full of pieces of stuff, crazy stuff, and he brought some of it into the kitchen, woke up his wife and son, Jesse Jr. And I should add that unlike Peter Jennings, who never bothered to mention that Jesse Jr. is a medical doctor, a pilot, a flight surgeon, and a colonel, he spent a year in Iraq, called in at age 67, would you believe, Jesse handled pieces of the wreckage. He was an only child, as he and his father were close. And he's the one who spotted some of these strange symbols on the little I-beam-like pieces. Anyway, the next morning, I mean, he handled the stuff. He looked at it. They were trying to fit together some of the pieces that were on the floor in the kitchen. The next morning, Jesse Sr. goes to the base on the morning of the 8th of July. And there he gets instructed to take this stuff to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It was Wright Field at the time. All the base names changed, so it can get a little confusing. But anyway, and he, of course, does as ordered. And he makes a stop at the headquarters of the 8th Air Force, which was in Fort Worth, Texas, right on the way from, if you look at a map, from Roswell to Wright Field. And before he'd even gotten there, it turns out that Colonel Thomas Jefferson Dubose, who was the chief of staff to the head of the 8th Air Force, General Ramey, Roger Ramey, had already taken a call from Ramey's boss. Now, I mentioned the boss business because this is all chain of command. Blanchard, the head of Roswell, was a West Pointer, as was General Ramey, as was then Colonel Dubose, as was Ramey's boss, General McMullen. And he told Dubose, send some of that stuff up here today with one of your colonel couriers. Get the press off our backs. I don't care how you do it, and I don't want you ever to talk about it again. So when Jesse arrives, General Ramey tells him, you don't say anything. I'll take care of it. And he did. He said it was just a radar reflector weather balloon combination, which is utterly ridiculous because Jesse had a course in radar and the use of weather balloons for, you know, monitoring the conditions in the sky. So when he gets back, Jesse Marcel Sr., he tells the family, don't ever talk about this again. We can't say anything about it. And that was pretty much where it sat. And Jesse, being a good son, and this is an Air Force, Army Air Force at that time family. And so he just told them, you know, we can't talk about it and so forth. But Jesse Jr. himself had handled this stuff, and he has made drawings of what the symbols looked like and stuff. And I think we ought to listen to a guy who's a colonel, clearly a loyal citizen, more than 40 years connection with the military, fought in Vietnam, et cetera, and a doctor and, you know, a flight surgeon, a kind of guy you rely on with very good background. And so Jesse is a little tired of people saying bad things about his father because, naturally, his father died in the mid-'80s. He's not around to defend himself.
Defense,
but
sure.
So he's got a book, Legacy, it's called. It'll be available in Roswell, maybe at where you are. The Roswell Legacy, the son of the first military officer at the 1947 crash site, tells his father's story. And I wrote the foreword for the book.
Will Marcel be at Roswell when you're there and I'm there?
Yes, yes. He will be at the museum and taking part in some panels.
Get him on the show
with us, Stanton.
I'm the only
one investigator, anyway, who's been in both his home and his dad's home and home of many of the other witnesses that the Air Force never talked to, even though they say they talked to everybody. So, yes, Colonel Marcel or Dr. Marcel, and which goes first, George? What's the protocol, Colonel or Doctor?
You know, that's a good point. You know, I was in the Navy, and I was just good old Lieutenant George. Good thing my name wasn't Lieutenant Dan, if you can coin a phrase from Forrest Gump, but... get Dr. Marcel for us, and he'll be on that show with us, okay?
Okay, I'll do what I can. I think Jesse and I respect each other. I'm just a couple of years older than he is, and he was very appreciative of the fact that I dedicated one of my books to his dad. There are two books, Crash at Corona, the definitive study of the Roswell incident, and then Top Secret Magic about the Majestic 12 stuff, and which says that Roswell happened. And, you know, people sometimes ask me, what's the big deal about Roswell? Well, both the believers and the non-believers think it's very important. If Roswell happened, then clearly in July 1947 we had wreckage, we had bodies,
yep.
We had clear proof that the planet was being visited, and therefore all the nasty, noisy, negativist arguments fall by the wayside. So naturally it's the target for the debunkers. And, you know, Dr. Bruce McAbee, an outstanding researcher, he adds his rule to my four basic rules for debunkers. His is, if the first explanation doesn't work, try a second. If that doesn't work, try a third. If that doesn't work, you know, keep going. And so Roswell has had that kind of thing. The Air Force has put out four explanations. I'm waiting for number five. You know?